Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yo!
Oh my God!
It's Yo MMA Rap with Chris J. Gomez and Dave Smith.
Yo, yo, yo. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, King of Things, Point Guard of Podcasting. Here, as always.
A lot of names.
With the great Dave Smith. What's up, kid?
What's going on, brother? Good to be back in the studio.
I know, Dave. Don't come near me, you fucking COVID fucking Nazi.
It's so nice to be back. Still positive. Still with symptoms. Hugging everyone I see.
Yeah. Kissing booth outside of the Dave Smith shows. That's just the way it's going to be for the rest of his life. Come up and give Dave Smith a kiss. Why not?
Until I don't have COVID anymore. Then yeah. I'm done. I'm just kidding, by the way. Guys in the booth, I don't have symptoms anymore. I'm good. I'm not contagious anymore.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back in studio. Very happy to be here. The great Vic Mysterio in parts unknown right now.
As always.
That I am.
Somewhere in a triangle, I imagine. I imagine Vic Mysterio lives in a pyramid.
But I just think he's like
the only triangle shaped house.
But he's just like on a bed with pillows laid out in a triangle.
Yeah, dude. He's got triangle shaped everything. He only eats Doritos. That's the only thing he'll eat. He only eats triangle shaped foods. And there's just Doritos. That's that.
The snack of a warrior.
That is true. We have an incredible show planned today. My hat matches my shoes.
Ooh, Lewis is finally getting back to Patterson.
Ooh, Puerto Rico. Oh, that was not on purpose. That was not on purpose. It was on purpose when I left the house.
It wasn't on purpose from you, but it was on purpose by God.
Well, yeah, you know, Puerto Ricans believe in God. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was Jesus. Jesus put together my outfit this morning, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right,
you can't fight who you are.
I'm not wearing a particularly nice outfit, but this hat matching these shoes with this watch, I'm wearing a decent pair of trainers,
mm-hmm.
this athletic pant. Do I not look kind of put together?
I guess. You're all right.
I like it.
Thank you very much, Natalie. I appreciate it.
I like it.
She's fucking doing
her job's on the line.
And what's the other guy's name again? Is that Coop?
That's Coop.
Did you meet Coop yet, Dave?
Oh, yeah, hanging with Mr. Coop.
Did you meet Coop?
I was hanging with him. Yeah, he was here last time.
I feel like his name is only Coop because he thinks he's got to have a fun podcast name. Like, whatever his name is, like,
fucking the podcast page, you got to be on.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that we're calling him Coop.
Coopaloop.
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 Koopa Troopa.
Is there another name that you guys want to, like, name me in space of this podcast?
See, now I don't believe that his name is Coop.
No.
He just way too quickly was like, and you guys got a different one? We'll do a different name.
Do we want to rename him?
I like Coop.
Gay faggot.
I walked myself into that one, yeah.
Yeah, so from now on, for the next 6 months, we're just going to be like, hey, gay faggot, why don't you look up my shit?
Fits like a dream.
All right, good. Fits like a dream. He's so nervous he didn't even say a sentence that anybody's ever said in the world.
He goes, oh man.
It fits like a dream, he said.
Should have stuck with Coop, man.
Coop. I'm about to turn Coop into the new Dylan. I'm about to make everyone hate Coop. Coop, don't make me do it. Dylan, I made Dylan cry on the Real Ass Podcast maybe three separate occasions. What do you mean? What are you making that face for? You cried like a baby bitch.
I like that. Dylan made the face, but he was like, it was two.
Yeah.
So
it was a couple times at least. Anyway, look, we have an incredible show planned today. We have a lot to talk about. Shout out to Yo Kratom, mm-hmm. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Without them, this show would not be possible. Dave, what did you want to tell me?
No, so you came in here drinking a big Red Bull.
Well, sugar-free Red Bull, because I'm living that, it's the summer of Lewis, baby boy.
Big old Red Bull with a soda in the other hand. This won't mean anything to anyone except you, but I think you'll appreciate it. I hate Red Bull. Hate it.
Hate
but
it.
Last weekend.
You hate wings.
I have no need to fly. So last weekend, I was in Reno doing shows, and I had the first night I was there, I had three shows, 7, 9, and an 11, right? So a long night of shows. And my flight in the morning was at 6 a.m. So I woke up at 3 a.m.
This is how you know Dave Smith. You need to fucking spread yourself out a little bit, Dave. Well, that's crazy.
Reno, by the way, very difficult to get flights into.
Yeah.
I could not find a direct flight. Anyway, had to do a layover. But anyway, so 3 a.m. I wake up on East Coast time. My shows are till 2 a.m. on West Coast time. So like something crazy goofy, the amount of time I was up. And I had a bunch of shit to do. I didn't have time to nap in between or anything. So I'm like, going into the last show, yeah. I'm like dead.
You're like, I need a pick me up. Coffee's probably not going to do the trick.
I've had so many coffees already.
It's not doing it anymore.
Kyle, the guy he was hosting for me and Rob.
Which is the most racist name of any man in the world.
I'm not sure it's his real name. I just assumed he was a Kyle.
Coop, Kyle.
On this show.
They're both gay faggots, in my opinion.
Kyle Coop says he's running to the store. He goes, I'm going to make a Red Bull run. I go, all right, you know what? Get me one of those big
against
Red
your best, against your better judgment.
I hate Red Bull. I know I hate it, but I just need a chug. And I literally, I didn't even think about it until I started drinking it. But I used to drink Red Bull all the time with you.
Yeah.
When we fucking sold tickets.
Really?
That was like a thing. We used to always drink Red Bull. And I'm telling you, chugging this, it's like I was drinking 2004.
You were bringing, like, I was drinking right Louis back, Gomez I was back into your body.
Just drinking
on the streets, everything. In New York City, selling
out front,
comedy club
ESPN
tickets.
Zone, Times
where
Square.
Where we met, dude, we'll keep it all Yo MMA Rap. Where we met George St. Pierre selling tickets.
We did meet George St. Pierre. That's right. I have the George photo.
Do you still
it's
have
up
it?
On my MySpace. Did if I, anyone remembers my login
you,
information.
No, I mean, it's just it'll just be in your pictures. I'm sure they
I
can pull
think
up.
It's on my MySpace.
Pull up the Dave Smith MySpace right now. See if we can find this somehow.
It's,
you were
I
in my top eight, so
computer.
If you pull up the Luis J. Gomez MySpace, go to my top eight.
Oh, I was your top eight. Let's get real. I was right at the top of that top eight.
Yeah, it was you, Sport B.
There's a picture. It's an awful, like,
Morton.
It's like a Nokia cell phone picture.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's no proof that it's George St. Pierre, but I'm telling you, it is George St.
Pierre.
Well,
I remember I tried to sell George St. Pierre comedy clubs. I guess I was like, hey, what's up, man? You want to go to a comedy show? And, you know, it's sales, so the first thing you ask, like, hey.
I am not impressed with your pitch.
I am not impressed with these comedy club tickets. I was like, you want to go to a comedy show? I was like, what do you do for a living, man? He's like, I am a UFC fighter. And then I got very condescending. I don't know if you remember this, but I was like, come on, bro. You're not a UFC fighter. You fight MMA. Like, I was trying to, like, school him. I can't just use the word UFC out of place, you fucking pussy.
And okay? This is, by the way, before GSP was exactly GSP. He had just fought BJ Penn.
You immediately knew who he was.
Yeah,
I looked at him, because you're better than me at this. So I was like, Dave, this guy thinks he's a UFC fighter.
And I was like, Lewis, that's the number one welterweight in the world. Yeah, he's about to fight Matt Hughes for the title.
Future Hall of Famer, future legend. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and you were like, that's George St. Pierre. And I was like, that's George St. Pierre. Whoa. And then we made him give us rear naked chokes because that's what every fucking dickhead.
Sucked.
Dude, it's so funny. You think
we were
that,
in our dude. Early 20s. We
like,
sucked.
Oh, dude, give us a joke in the picture.
We sucked as much as you listening to this show suck right now.
Yes.
You'll get there.
Yeah. If you guys meet me, don't try to fucking take a
anyway,
picture with me and
Red
have
Bull,
me rear naked choke you.
The Red Bull took me back. Oh, just that taste of caffeinated piss or
take
whatever it is.
No, it's like
oh, it's awful.
I'm trying to remember what is it, like, almost like sour apple soda? What's the flavor of Red Bull?
It is piss.
I'm with Dave. I also hate Red Bull.
You hate
it does,
Red Bull?
It does taste like piss. Like, at least that's what I think.
It tastes like, all right, if they were ever able to bottle in a liquid the taste when you put a Duracell double, like one of those square batteries on your tongue, that is bottled that.
Yes. It's not good. No one actually likes it.
I you know what it is? Can I tell you why? When I drink it, it's because right now I'm trying not to drink soda.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did drink a diet.
What is
Boylan.
That?
This is a fucking bubbly, dickhead.
Oh, okay.
It's not a soda.
I'm just curious. It looks like a soda.
It does look like it. It's the same color as a Dr. Pepper. No, it's a bubbly. This is
okay.
Seltzer. I'm trying not to drink soda, even though I drink a Boylan's diet.
That was a real 180. Dude.
Soda
go,
today.
It's a bubbly, dickhead. I go, it looks like a soda. You go, it does look a lot like a soda. Looks exactly like a soda.
Hey, dude, I get really on edge when I don't have soda.
It looks like you were trying to fool someone into thinking you're having a soda.
Well, anyway, look, we have a lot to talk about. We have a guest coming on in a few minutes. Very excited to have Joseph Holmes, who's a UFC middleweight contender, joining the show for the first time, which is very exciting. We're going to talk to him about his, career and what's going on with him as a young UFC contender. We have a lot of other stuff to talk about, but I mean, are we going to, he's coming on in like 3 minutes. Are we going to jump into other things before that? No, let's just continue to talk shit until Joseph Holmes comes on.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's just talk shit for a while. I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm taking James to his first concert.
Ooh, what's the concert?
Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, you're taking them. Did you get like free tickets or something?
No.
Or are you just taking them to brag that you used to know them?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him that. But, you know, it's not even a big deal to him. He doesn't care.
No deal to him whatsoever.
No, it means nothing. But he likes them. I put them on in the car for him, and he's like, he jams out to the
Are they
music.
Still big?
I don't know.
Because they were big
so. Yeah,
for a little
so.
Bit there.
I think I'm seeing them in like a stadium type thing.
Okay.
I don't know. Where are they playing, Natalie? Look it up. Look up the size of the venue that they're playing in Philly. I'm going to go in Philly.
I'm so removed that you could be
Who
like,
is this?
They're
Sorry,
no
I was
one.
Doing producer stuff.
Wow. Doing producer stuff like Feed listening.
And camera.
Like listening
like
to your fucking.
Materials.
Oh my God. Wow. Holy shit.
I saw them at Roseland Ballroom, by the way.
Yeah, years
great,
ago.
Great act.
Yeah, I've seen them. I saw them with literally dozens of people in the crowd. In fact, pull up my Instagram, Natalie. I just posted a video when I was, this is 2001, so I was like 18 or 19 years old when I was producing rock shows. They played at a place called the Nyack Center, which was this little tiny, it was used to be a church. So the sound was awful. There was no like PA system really. You just brought your amps in. And I used to book them there. And then they headlined a show. And this video somebody posted to YouTube, and I'm actually in the video, which is hilarious. It's on my Instagram, Natalie. I vamped for so long. It's crazy how much I set that up. I was like, wow, she's going to definitely just nail it.
2001, right?
Yes, 2001.
Okay,
got it. You got it.
Just making sure it's not.
There's me moshing. But it was my show. Dave, you're going to love this. This is 18-year-old Lewis.
One more time for Cody and fucking Cambria! Buy some fucking t-shirts for $10. You'll show your support.
I've always been me.
You really have always been you.
Scare hands. There's a short-haired Claudio Sanchez. So I've always been me. I've same voice, same energy, same everything.
Somehow you were older.
Yeah, dude, I was fatter and older.
You're actually younger now than you were there.
The shirt that I was wearing was like a big dragon shirt. Like it was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was fucking nuts. That was my fattest, I think, ever in my life. But anyway, I'm taking James to go see them. Are you excited about things like that with your kids?
Yeah, I'm just, that's so down the road for me. But sure, yeah, that'd be cool.
How old's your daughter now?
She's three and a half.
Yeah, she's going to be four soon. She's going to do karate lessons soon, ballet lessons.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, there's
all
stuff
this
like
shit.
That.
All this shit's
well,
coming
not
up.
Rock concerts, but yeah. There's,
we're doing
there's
the
a
heavy metal
show,
smoking weed, taking dabs.
Yeah, no, none of that. No, I'm excited about all of that. It is. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch them grow up.
Are you going to make your children make, you know, obviously when I say make, are you, it is making, right? Because technically my son is 9, right? Mm-hmm. So I can manipulate him into anything, right? If I wanted to make my son get into something, it's a few steps of like, oh, showing, introducing it to him, acting like I think it's cool, you know, engaging with him with it, and then boom, he's into it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, if I think a good parent can, you want to manipulate your kids into good things. You don't want to manipulate your kids into, you know, doing fucking dumb shit, right?
Sure.
But are you going to make sure your children take martial arts?
Probably my boy more than my girl, I would encourage
really?
It. Yeah, but I think that... I wouldn't make them, no. I'd encourage that. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Jiu-jitsu?
Sure. I'm more concerned about my son feeling like
a man,
confident and in his ability to defend himself, knowing how to fight at least a little bit.
I will say though, I watch the little girls in my son's jiu-jitsu class, and there's a couple girls that fucking dominate. There's a couple girls that legitimately come out and fucking, like, there's one girl that just beats James every time. It's fucking embarrassing. I can't even look at him in the face. When he loses to her, I literally.
She's your new son?
Yeah, Riley. Riley, my little boy. Dude, she's half his size, but her mom's one of the instructors, and she's been doing it forever. She's just really, really good. And it just proves how, what, Natalie? Now I'm in the middle of a story. I'm in the middle of a speech. Here we go. I'm inspiring people right now. Everyone's got little girls at home right now. They're fucking going to grab their little girl, about to bring them to a jiu-jitsu school. I'm doing more for feminism and women right now than you've literally ever done as a non-binary.
I'm pretty sure she's binary.
Whatever she is. Okay. What, Natalie?
I would like you to finish your story first.
No.
I tell you that we have a guest.
No. Oh, is that? Well, yeah, you can interrupt for that reason. And now our guest hears me being a fucking asshole to you, abusing a female producer. Edit this out.
Thanks a lot, Natalie.
God, women are dumb. No, I'm kidding. Women are great. I joke. I do kid. All right, real quick, let's take a moment and thank YoKratom.com for supporting today's show. YoKratom, home of the $60 kilo. If you're over 21 years old and you're in the market for Kratom, you got to get it from YoKratom.com.
YoKratom.com has everything you need. All right, they only have Kratom, but they'll make you feel like they have everything you need.
Once you got Kratom, that's all you need. That's the truth. Hey, have you ever felt like you've been laying in a bed of puppies? Well, guess what? That's what it's like to take Kratom.
Puppies sold separately.
Ladies and gentlemen, seriously, Kratom helps people. Don't use it irresponsibly. But if you're in the market for Kratom, go grab from YoKratom.com, truly home of the $60 kilo. Thank you guys very much. Where were we? Yeah, of course, ladies and gentlemen, very excited to have joining the show for the very first time, UFC middleweight contender, Joseph Ugly Man Holmes. Why do they call you Ugly Man? You're very handsome with this mustache. I like this.
Thank you. No, thank you. Sorry, by the way, I'm driving. I'm like 2 minutes from my gym. But no,
it's all good. I like our interviews being... I was going to say, I like our interviews being extremely dangerous, so...
I just won't get to look at you for a couple minutes, but it's all good.
It's all good. I'm actually an ugly man. So where'd you get the name Ugly Man? I know everyone asks that question. Obviously, it's a hack question at this point, but it's a pretty interesting name. I know it's not because you're ugly. You're a handsome man. What's going on here?
Thank you. No, I created a group, man. It was just a way I was expressing myself when I was younger. We just created it called Ugly Man Gang, and basically you just put Ugly Man before your name, and it was just a dumb thing we created when I was a kid, but it just works. Now it's kind of just like clickbait, you know, it gets a reaction out of people.
I love it. So what's going on? You're going to train right now. What are you doing right now? Do you have a fight booked? No, when's your next fight?
I'm probably going to fight September. There's a fight night in Vegas in September. I don't have an opponent, but I'm just training. Yeah, I'm headed to the gym actually. Teach a class and then train.
Very yeah, cool. That's you. I've heard you learn a lot more from teaching than you do just from going out and learning yourself. Is that true? Could you say that's true? Talk to me a little bit about that. Do you like teaching?
I've been teaching since like really early in my martial arts career. So since I think 2018 or 19. And I don't know. I feel like my technique's always been real crisp because of it. Like if I can talk somebody through a certain technique or even just mentally see the technique in my head, like it seems to be like something that's more solid for me. Like the triangle was the first thing I taught, but it was also like one of my first submissions I ever got in a real fight. So
you said the word of the day, triangle. If you say
somewhere,
if
Vic is very excited.
If you mention triangles, our producer gets very, very excited about this. So believe me, you did get somebody excited just now with that. All right. So look, talk to me a little bit about your UFC career. I read this interesting fact about you, and this is very interesting. You quit smoking weed after you lost your UFC debut.
Yeah. That's a fact.
So what happened? Talk to me through that mindset, because I'm currently stoned. Dave doesn't smoke weed anymore.
Well, I'm very interested in this because I've also quit smoking weed recently. So I'm curious, what led you to decide to cut out the weed, and what do you think the results have been?
I was a blunt guy big time. So obviously,
what type
cardio
of blunt?
Had some... Like, I was Swisher Sweet, Diamond Swisher, dog.
I like Swishers. I like some White Owls. I like the flavored White Owls, a nice little white peach. Come on, baby boy.
I used to like White Owls, like white grape. That was the shit.
Yeah. I can tell that he likes weed still. He loves weed still, because the way he talks about it is like the way you talk about an old love, like the girl that got away.
Well, no matter if you were really into weed, no matter how long you quit it, even if you don't want to smoke anymore, you still get right back into that feeling of just being like, oh yeah, a nice fucking blunt.
Yeah, no, I didn't quit because it was like hindering me necessarily, because I've been smoking my entire martial arts career. So I've had a lot of success and I've been stoned through every bit of it, but it was more so like, there's so many things I want to do. Like I like to stream video games on Facebook, you know, I like to do all these little things, but I was noticing, you know, I like to eat, you know, stuff like that. I was noticing that I couldn't really get into a lot of shit unless I'm stoned out of my mind. Like I would plan to stream at 10 a.m., for example, and I would wake up, you know, I normally wake up around 7 a.m., and I would literally sit there, roll blunt, smoke it, get stuck in some video on my phone, and then be like, damn, I need to smoke another one. Roll up another one, smoke it. Now it's like 11 in the morning, a whole hour's passed from when I plan on starting. And I was like, you know, I feel like this might be an issue, or, you know, creating an issue. So I kind of just let it all go, just all cold turkey. I stopped drinking, stopped smoking. And I smoked a little bit of weed after the, you know, to celebrate my victory. I was in Vegas and stuff, but still just went right back to like, nah, I'm good.
It reminds me of a Half-Baked, where it's like anybody else in Vegas is doing coke and like getting hookers. And here you are just smoking a joint. You're like, oh, I'm really letting myself go.
Exactly.
So, have you noticed results? Because I know I quit drinking at one point. I'm drinking again now. In fact, I'm going to pour myself a drink here just a minute. But when I quit drinking and I was exercising, the first like week, I was like really sluggish and crazy. My body couldn't adapt, whatever it was. And then afterwards, I really just shed a lot of weight very quickly. I felt so much more energetic. Have you noticed a lot of, not only in your other things that are going on in your life, but specifically with your training, have you noticed a big difference since you sort of took out the all of the substances?
Yeah, actually, I could say that because my mind's been so clear. And after I got over the scary ass nightmares, like constant nightmares, mm-hmm. and like difficulty eating, and after I got through all that, which took close to a month, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, yeah, things were very different for me. Like being high every day and then not being high anymore.
It's
like
almost, you notice, a high.
Like, yeah, it's definitely a high. Like not being high is like a high. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it's very weird. Like I feel like more alert.
I forgot about the dreams. That's something that happens. What happens is, you know, you end up, I've heard from a lot of people, I don't know why, but you end up having very, very vivid dreams.
Well, pot fucks with your sleep cycles. So when you get off of it, I had the same experience. When you get off of it, you start having these crazy intense dreams that you remember like pretty vividly.
Yeah.
It's like it's very weird. It's also just your body like leveling out and everything. It doesn't last that long.
Yeah.
But like you said, I had the same thing, about 2-3 weeks of it, intense fucking crazy dreams.
Intense. And then
the
same thing,
the lack of appetite was a real bitch fucking too, a little bit of insomnia.
That was very hard. Yeah, it was very hard, like not wanting to eat, like, and I would try and eat and it just wouldn't be the same, you know, like you get high and you're like, hell yeah, I got the munchies, I'm about to go and freaking throw down. Not when you stop. It takes a while.
Yeah. It's and I also I think one of the big things that I struggled with at first, again, it's not for long, but it's like whatever you're doing, the thing that we're like smoking weed makes it so much more fun. It's hard to be like, it's hard to enjoy listening to music as much or enjoy playing a video game as much or these things. It's like scary in a way, because you're like, oh shit, am I like relying for like my passion in life on this substance? Yeah. But that all does come back. That all levels out, and like you enjoy all that shit.
And then also, and you know this, Joseph, as you did celebrate the last time, now your tolerance is dipped. So when you do get high once in a while, it rules again. It's like you're a teenager again.
Hell yeah. When I smoked that blunt in Vegas, man, I only hit it like a couple times, put it out, and I was out of my mind.
You're tripping.
out of my mind.
That's awesome, man. So, look, you stream video games too, which is very interesting. What video games are you streaming? Because I'll watch you play video games, dude. I stream on Twitch.
Do you? I'll shoot you a follow.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, I stream like the basic, you know, BRs, you know, Call of Duties and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I've been playing Ash Evil Dead lately. I don't know if you know that game.
I don't know.
Super badass. So.
Yeah.
Got you. No. Super badass. Yeah, it's like a horror game. I like scary things. I like zombie games. So that's kind of what I play, like Elden Rings and, you know, like zombie things, Dying Light, things like that.
Yeah. Why are MMA fighters such nerds? Can you answer that question?
Well, because it's like the one sport where you don't have to be super athletic. Like there's a lot of fighters out there that are not very athletic. They're right. Just, you know, they just happen to have good technique, or, you know, they spent a lot of time doing it. Like, there's a lot of dorks in MMA, not gonna
especially
lie.
Jiu-jitsu. Yeah, with jiu-jitsu, you go to a jiu-jitsu gym, it's like there's these guys that are like little dweeby guys, and then they're black belts, and then they could choke you out. What did you start off training?
Jiu-jitsu. Everything jiu-jitsu. But jiu-jitsu is the what I took to.
And you're out in Texas? Where in Texas are you?
I am. Yeah, I'm in Dallas. I train at SFS MMA here in Mesquite.
I was literally in Dallas this past weekend doing comedy shows at Hyenas Comedy Club.
I know Hyenas.
Yeah. I was there, and we had I trained at 10th Planet North Dallas for the afternoon. We went and we rolled, and then Ginny, who's a UFC fighter, came out to the show with her husband, and they were awesome. Very, very nice people down in Texas that I've trained with. Did you get a lot of assholes coming out of your gym? I've noticed specifically in jiu-jitsu, there's like a lot of just nice guys. It humbles people in a very weird way. People don't really get to the highest level. Are you dealing with, have you dealt with a lot of dickheads since you've been training?
Nothing against the school, but only when I trained at Fortis did I deal with some dickheads, but their program's a little bit different than most. I don't know if you know anything about Fortis, but now everybody's genuinely pretty friendly, like around this sport, I guess, because they're like, well, most people ever in here can probably kick my ass. So they come in really, you know, really humble, really like ready to learn, eager to learn, I would say, but nah, not too many dickheads. All the dickheads are on the internet.
Yeah, of course. Since you got in the UFC, has anybody tried to, like, do you see people trying to test you a little bit more? Because there's that age-old sort of story of, like, oh, you're in the UFC. I want to get over on a UFC guy. I want to tap out a UFC guy. I want to catch him in sparring. Have you gotten that yet?
Maybe. I don't know if it was super specific, but I did have one guy last week. We were sparring, and I told everybody to put headgears on, and he didn't want to. But I insisted that he put a headgear on, but he still didn't during our round. And I noticed that he is like coming for me, and I'm not going hard. I'm just trying to have fun and move. And he's like really trying to hit me hard. I was like, dude, yo, chill on the power, just chill on the power, have some fun. And he did, he chilled right away. But I don't know if that was because I'm in the UFC or just because he wasn't wearing a headgear and he was like, you know, kind of nervous to get hit. So he just had to like turn the pressure up before he felt it. But
yeah, do you normally spar in headgear? I do. Every time I've ever sparred with headgear, I feel like I can't see. It feels like I'm wearing like one of those like old school scuba diver masks where you got like just like that little vision, and I feel like a shark's about to attack me from the side. I can't do it. It's scary, no, dude.
I don't wear headgears. I did when I first started, like before I went professional, but since I was professional, I kind of need everything to be, you know, kind of like how it's going to be when I fight.
And what about your process? Are you doing a ton of sparring leading up to fights? Cause that's the thing as well. We've talked to a lot of fighters throughout the years, a lot of old school guys as well. And one of the things that I hear regularly from guys is that they wish they would have pulled back on how hard they sparred and they put a, you know, I guess a lot of years left in the gym just with like crazy hard sparring. Do you do crazy hard sparring or?
Yeah, I spar hard as fuck. Yeah, all the time. Non-stop. Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. I just kind of like protect my head. You know what I mean? Like, just keep your, you know, like when you're, I think the main problem with sparring with people is that when you say hard sparring, they kind of like imagine that you're doing like the whole Max Holloway, like meet in the middle, like let's just bang it out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of not like that for me. Like, I try and be real strategic, try and like, really like just practice like, you know, slipping shots in and like just catching my opponent being open. But I'm normally bigger than most people, so I have to tone down. And the only time I really find myself like getting in danger during sparring is like when I throw a knee, you know, and I have to obviously pull my knee back because I'm not going to knee my teammate. And then since I pulled it back, they take that chance to just like land some hard blows, you know what I mean? As if my knee wouldn't have cracked him.
Yeah. How big are you? What do you walk around at?
6'4", probably by 210, 215.
6'4". Jesus Christ, dude. So you're a massive middleweight.
Yeah, I'm pretty big. Yeah, but the weight, I normally would get down to like 200, 205 before I got a cut weight.
Wow. So when you walk into the actual cage, you're closer to 200 pounds?
This past fight, I walked in the cage at about 208. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. That is a scary, scary man right there. Just talk to me a little bit about what's coming on up for you in the UFC. Obviously, you got that win now, which is huge. Obviously, a massive thing behind you. How much pressure did you feel walking into that second fight you know, knowing that you lost your debut, did it really fuck with you mentally, or did you sort of have to let it go?
No, the pressure for me was more so during camp, like from the previous fight, just kind of like, okay, I got to make sure I, you know, hit all aspects of everything. Plus, it was my first time having a long camp. So trying to just make sure I'm not waiting too long, you know, to, you know, get my diet in certain ways and, you know, not doing things too early. You know, try not to be sore. Like that was more so like the pressure for me, like just during the camp. But once it got to the fight, because I haven't seen a therapist, I haven't talked with this awesome therapist, sports therapist. And he's just showing me different techniques to kind of like put my head in the right mental space for that moment. So that was the biggest thing for me, to like just really be in each different moment. And like every day your values, or my values, change, you know, so kind of just trying to keep up with where my values are that day. And I tried to just focus on that the whole camp. And I feel like once I got to the actual fight itself, like things felt really easy. Like I was just in my zone, not really worried at all. Just, I felt really, really confident. And I think that the therapy really helped me do that. So
I hear about this all the time, sports therapy. And I don't really, because I know what my therapist just rips me off. I talk about horse shit, right? But what is a typical, or let it even a typical, right? Because obviously you get into some other shit, but what, give me just like the elevator pitch on what sort of they do when you go to a sports psychologist, right? So are they trying to, like, do they talk to you about like your formative years and your parents and how that affects you? Or do they, I mean, I have no idea. Literally, I don't know the first thing when you hear sports psychologists, I don't know the first thing that they do.
I would say, no, it's not kind of like what you're thinking. It's more so like we'll get into a regular conversation like we're having right now. And then he'll just kind of be like, well, what's going on? How you doing? You know, like, where are you at right now? You know, for your camp, like, what are you focused on? So he kind of helps me like think about what my focus is at that time. And then he'll be like, okay, that sounds great. And then he'll kind of give me a metaphor. Like today, I spoke to him today, actually. And today he gave me a metaphor. I'm not going to give you the whole metaphor, but briefly, basically.
You got to pay his therapist for that, apparently.
No, basically just, he told me to picture a factory with two levels. There's the managers on the top, which I'm the manager. And then all the, you know, factory items like the tools and stuff are on the bottom, which would be all the techniques he's taught me, you know, like box breathing and, you know, just different techniques that I've learned from him. And he's basically like, well, you use all these techniques and you have, you know, like a working factory, everything's working fine, which would be in my fight, like everything was working great because I was using all these techniques. Well, are you going to be the guy that goes and sits down after you fix all of your, you know, all of your tools and stuff in the factory? Or are you going to constantly make sure that all everything's working fine? Which means like, are you going to continue to use these techniques even when things are good, even when I'm not so stressed or dealing with too much pressure and stuff? You know, just small metaphors like that to kind of help me imagine what I should be doing with my effort and with my thought process and stuff. So he's great. No, I'd
be like, I'm gonna relax. I own a factory.
No, I'm the manager. Let them do it.
I'm a factory owner. You think I'm working? I'm gonna take a nap.
So it's almost partially like someone to sort of slow your thinking down and maybe thinking about your fight a different way. Because look, I'm sure your coaches and your friends and all these other people will give you advice or whatnot, but they're very close to it, right? So that's amazing. Let me ask you a question. I like asking fighters this question. We'll let you, I know you got to go train here in a second. So I won't take up too much more of your time, but I think this is a great question. I think fighters always have a great answer for this question. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever received from somebody else? And it could be fight related or it could be anything related.
Wow. That is a great question.
I should have prepared him for it.
I probably some of the best advice I've received is to, I guess, just to be here, like present, like even right now. Like I could have just simply like, cause I've done a lot of interviews after this fight. I could have like taken today and been like, it's no big deal. You know, I'll just go in there and just talk, whatever. But I actually like briefed myself this morning, like for this interview, like I was like, you're going to be talking to people. You need to make sure, you know, you're not just stressed. You know, you need to just be thinking about each question that he asks you and just like focus on that and listen, you know. And that was a big thing I told myself, like, I need to listen because sometimes I get a little wiry or whatever. But I guess, yeah, just to kind of like enjoy the process and like be present in all these moments, because this stuff is awesome. And
yeah,
like, I love my life and I love the fact that I get to meet awesome people and talk about great things and stuff. So just to be present and just appreciate all these moments.
It is. It's a pretty amazing thing. You're literally living your dream, which is, you know, incredible. Do you have children?
I have one. Yeah. Five-year-old boy.
Good for you. I got a 9-year-old boy as well. I mean, you get to literally show your son in a very real way that you get to do what the fuck you want to do with your life. Very few people get to actually say that. They go, I'm doing what I want to do. Every single day I wake up, I open my eyes, I'm doing what I want to do. So, yeah, you should appreciate that. I think that is great advice. We'll let you get out of here and go train. Joseph Holmes, ugly man himself. We will be watching your career very, very closely. Anything else? How can they watch you play video games? On Facebook?
Yeah, I stream on Facebook. My channel is called Ugly Man Joe Gaming. And then that's also my Twitter handle, too. So,
love it.
Yeah, come check me out. I stream Tuesday, Thursday, and the weekend.
I love it. Very cool, man. I play Warzone. We got to jump on sometime together.
Bro, let's do it.
Let's do it. We'll get crazy. We'll get wild.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joseph. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything you do. Guys, go support Joseph Holmes in all of his endeavors. And yeah, that's that. We'll check you later, brother.
Thanks, man. You guys have a good one.
You too, brother.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I always get a little bit nervous when people are like, oh, I researched you before I did this show. And you're like, oh,
no.
You realize those were jokes, right?
Vic, you got to tell them not to research us from
please do not, forward, dude. But that sounds more ominous when you go, would you like to do this interview? Do not do research.
Do not
look into them. You might as well cancel now.
I say, yeah, they're well-known comedians. They do stuff. Don't worry about it.
Most people, you know what's funny? Because I do worry about that sometimes. And then you realize that most people don't play the dumb political game that everyone else plays, right?
No one does.
99% of the people in the world, they don't, like, even when, like, people call venues, because people call venues and they're like, yeah, this guy, he's a fucking whatever, right? I know they've done it to you in the past. They've done it to us in the past. Most venues go, that's stupid. It's hilarious. First of all, most of these venues have been around for 30, 40 years. So they dealt with those phone calls for, like, massive acts.
Yeah.
So when they try to cancel like Tosh, right? Back in the day when you know, he got in trouble for that rape joke thing. He's a massive, massive act. So they got 100 phone calls for him. So I'm such small potatoes and I get like anxiety about it sometimes. And then I realize like nobody really lives in the world of politicizing comedy. That is a very specific sect of the world that is such a small, it's even a small percentage of the left. It's not even like everyone on the left is like, we got to attack comedy. Most people on the left are worried about other things.
No, most people on the left at this point hate those guys
because
they're like, oh my God. For two reasons. Number one, they think they're giving them a bad name. And number two, they're scared of them the same way everyone else is. Or they're like, oh man, I say the wrong thing and these guys attack me. No one likes those guys.
Yeah. You know what I say about all this, right?
What?
YOLO. That's my answer to everything. YOLO.
Once. Thanks, Vic. Vicky, coming out to hang out with me in Austin.
I am. I'm scheduling that right now.
Yeah, we're going to go down to Austin. In fact, let's do plugs real quick while we get into it. We'll go into the results from this past weekend. UFC Fight Night, whatever, Volkov versus Rozenstrike, which was a lot of fun to watch. And but let's do our plugs real quick. Sure. Dave, what do you got to plug, my friend?
I'll be in Chicago on June 18th with Robbie the Fire Bernstein. Then I'll be up at Porkfest on June 23rd. I have a bunch more stuff coming up. I think I'm going to be in Philly in July. I'll be back at Freedom Fest in July as well. And yeah, Part of the Problem, of course, right here on Gas Digital Network and Legion of Skanks.
Yeah,
also
make sure
here.
You subscribe to Gas Digital. Use that promo code YOMMA. Get a 7-day free trial. You get instant access to the complete on-demand library for all these shows. You'll notice the YouTube version of the show and the iTunes version of the show is censored. We have to censor it to keep our platforms. We're not getting kicked off these platforms. So if you want the uncensored versions of all these shows, get them at GasDigitalNetwork.com, Legion of Skanks, Real Ass Podcast, Part of the Problem. There are thousands of hours of these podcasts. You can watch our entire podcast philosophy being developed in real time. If you guys just go back and watch them in a row, you'll never be done. You'll never never catch up, okay? There's so much content. It's so worth it. It's only $8.50 a month if you keep the membership. I have a lot of live dates coming up. This weekend, if you guys are in the California, the state of California, I'm going all over the place. I'll be in Ontario, California on Thursday night, the 9th. San Diego on the 10th and the 11th with the great Zach Amico. Oh, Jason Ellis on the Thursday night, the 9th.
Nice.
And then Zach Amico on the 10th and the 11th. And then I'm at the Comedy Store on the 12th doing the goddamn Comedy Jam. Lots of other stuff coming up. I'll be in Emes, Pennsylvania. I'll be at Soul Joel's Comedy Club in Pennsylvania as well. I'll be in Albany at the Co-Host Theater. And then me and Aaron Berger kicking off our Offend Everyone tour July 4th weekend at the Creek in the Cave in Austin, Texas. And we're going everywhere. So go to lewisofskanks.com. Grab your tickets for all of those shows and more. I have a bunch more stuff coming out. That's just up until July. I mean, Kansas City, Missouri is coming up. Tampa, Florida is coming up. Denver is coming up. Lots of stuff. Make sure you guys go to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review, subscribe, support, all that shit. And yeah, that's that. Look at that. It's just flying, dude.
It always does, bro.
Yeah, dude, Joseph Holmes, good dude, man. Liked him a lot. All right, look, real quick. I mean, look, we'll do quick results. We're not going to break down the fights in a technical way type of show.
Oh, were you thinking we were going to wrap up the last week in mixed martial arts? No, loser.
Look.
Here to talk about how Red Bull makes me feel.
Movzar Evloev defeated Dan Ige via unanimous decision. I mean, there's not much else to say about it except for these fucking Russians are dominant, dude. He's 16-0, I believe.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting when you see a guy who's got, first off, an undefeated record grabs your attention, and someone has an undefeated record. But historically in MMA, an undefeated record doesn't mean that much because it's all about like who you fought and you're like, okay, well, you'll be undefeeted up until a certain point, and then we'll see.
And Dan Ige
Dan Ige, when you do that to Dan Ige, everyone's kind of like, oh, that was like the 10th ranked guy in the world who's really tough, yeah. Something like that. Who's really, really tough, has a lot of big wins in the UFC. And you're like, yeah, to dominate him like that and just utterly frustrate him in every aspect of the sport. And you're undefeated.
Yeah.
That makes you start getting kind of excited, like, oh shit, all right, we got another major contender here.
I mean, massive contender, obviously. I mean, if you really look at, like, it's a style thing, right? These Russian guys have this fucking take you down and grind you out style. They just keep coming. They have an intensity to the way that they fight. And it seems like if you see...
And the striking is not bad either.
If you see Dazakhstan, Pazakhstan, Gakistan, Shazakhstan, any of fucking stands, any of those fucking places, dude, they don't say Russia. They don't want to say Russia, okay? Like, Russia is a very politicized thing right now. They don't want to throw Russia out there. But any of the stands, they're going to be a fucking... I mean, dude, how many of them are fucking out there, dude?
There's a lot.
I mean, dude, it started off with Khabib, and now there's like 5 or 6 legitimate guys who look like they're nearly unbeatable. Are they all out of the same camp?
I don't know exactly. I mean, I know like Hamzat and like trained with Khabib for a long time, and I know that Islam trained with him for a long time. I don't know what this dude's deal is. I assume they're all cousins, I don't know. Am I wrong about that?
Maybe. Who knows?
They definitely all lived in the same house.
Are we supposed to like Russians? Are we supposed to like Muslims? I don't know if we're like supposed to. I don't know what the rules are anymore. I think the UFC tries to avoid saying that they're either Muslim or Russian. They're just like, nah, they're great fighters, guys.
Yeah, what are you talking about? He's American as apple pie.
They're Russian Muslims, dude. They're as un-American as it gets.
Oh, no. Khabib is from Kansas originally.
Doggy, I'm telling you. And nobody wants to say anything about it. I don't give a shit at all. I feel bad. I feel bad for these poor Russians. I don't know what the Ukraine did to them. They're obviously pissed off for a reason. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's what I say. Shut up, Natalie. You don't know anything about politics.
No, I sure don't. You're absolutely right.
What did Russia even do to the Ukraine?
I don't know.
You don't
That's
know.
Exactly right.
I love it. I like
that. I was trying to.
And there you have your answer, folks. Nothing. Russia did nothing to Ukraine. You heard it here from Natalie.
And were they just attacking for no reason? We don't know that.
No, they didn't. They had their reasons.
I don't know what Dave believes anymore, but usually it's the most controversial thing.
No.
And then he I feel like you choose the most controversial thing and then you work yourself backwards from there. You're like, let me try to figure this out.
Nah, I got my reasoning. It's airtight.
Hell yeah.
The views of Dave Smith and Louis J. Gomez are that of those people only.
Let's not judge the entire
mysterious
cast.
First of all, you're a man of mystery. Just, you know, who cares? Just go out on a limb here, dude. Get crazy. Get wacky.
His name is literally Mysterio.
I know. So,
yeah. Sorry, I just put that together.
women are dumb this whole fucking time.
Natalie, I defended you last week, by the way. Lewis like had this, the most I feel like this controversial.
Well, what did I say last week about Natalie that bothered you, Vic?
Oh, it was the Ronda Rousey. It was the funniest but most offensive thing you've ever said about Natalie, about how Natalie was hot for being on the Gas Digital Network, like Ronda Rousey was hot for being an MMA chick.
That was accurate.
I don't think I disagree with that.
That's accurate. No, Natalie's attractive. She's an attractive girl. But, like, everyone's fawning over her like she's fucking Pam Anderson in the 90s. Relax, folks.
It's because they've only seen four women
before. They see, exactly.
Go, oh, that chick's way hotter than Zach Amico.
She's the hottest of a bunch of uggos. That's the problem.
And she still throws the bi thing out there, even though she's a lesbian.
She is a lesbian. If you're in a full-fledged relationship with a woman, you're a lesbian, and you know, maybe you'll take some dick once in a while. Would you and your lesbian girlfriend ever throw it down with a dude? That should be a contest we do on Yo MMA Rap.
My
That's how we get the numbers
up. Not into women. I mean, not
men,
into men
ever. Is she like kinky though? Would she like be into watching you suck a dude's dick?
No,
she'd hate it. She'd be furious.
She's jealous too. Yeah.
Oh, jealous too. Yeah. She does have a. Your girlfriend looks mean. I gotta be honest with you, Natalie. She's hot, but she looks fucking. She looks like
she can be a little mean.
She looks like she's like a bassist of a punk band, and she looks like she can beat you up.
Yes.
Yeah. So, would smash.
Both of those
though.
Things are true.
Would smash completely.
She's in a band that 18-year-old Lewis is introducing.
Oh yeah.
On stage. Go pick up some of that fucking merch, guys.
Go give it up for the voluptuous vulvas here at the Nyack Center. Thanks,
she
everyone.
She is in a band, and the gigs are just like that.
She's in a band, uh-huh. A lesbian, an all-female band.
No, she's the only woman.
Thank God, it's a good fucking band. Then he's the all-female band.
An all-lesbian band.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you. We hate dick. We hate dick. We hate balls. We hate balls. So this is my lesbian punk rock music, guys. Let's see. Orson Martian in the Race to Live Chat says, Natalie is as hot as her heart is cold. Robert Driscoll says, Natalie could get it. Nat is Pan Anderson, says Bricks. Pan Anderson, I fucking love it. I need a sound effect. That's solid right there. Pan Anderson. It's pretty good. It's pretty fucking good. All right. So, yeah, look, Evloev undefeated. If you look at the guys at 145, you know, I mean, dude, look, his style sucks for almost everybody, you know?
No one wants to fight a guy like that.
Yeah, undefeated, not ranked. I mean, maybe now we'll crack into the top 10. Yeah, top right. If he gave us top 10, he'll crack the top 10. But he's a guy who... just a style that's going to fucking suck. And he doesn't have the same type of heat that Makhachev or Khamzat have yet.
Yeah. And
to fight him now, if you're in the top 10, you're like, it's not even like it's a title. It's like a title, like eliminator match. You got to fucking really look at that. He's in a weird position because I bet you people are going to not want to fight him.
Yeah, I'm sure. He was fairly long and tall for the division, and he threw really good straight strikes too, yep. Which just makes it even more difficult to like deal with someone like that. Yep. He looked like he's going to be really, really tough for just about anyone. And that is a fucking very good division though, moving forward. So
yeah, 145,
very good division.
It got crazy. It got really fun, you know? Yeah. Look, Volkanovski looks almost unbeatable.
Well, him and Max Holloway is the fucking fight, but then there's a lot of other guys there.
Yeah, there's a lot of really exciting fights to make. But he would, I mean, dark horse, it's not even dark horse, just sort of coming up. I think he's going to have trouble getting guys to want to fight him that are highly ranked just because of his style, and the payoff just isn't much. What are you going to beat? You know, who is there? Dan Hooker. There's like, I mean, these guys are going to have a tough time with him, a really tough time with him. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the main event. Alexander Volkov defeats Jorginho Rosenstrike via TKO round one. I don't think it was an early stoppage. I mean,
no.
Rosenstrike wasn't in the fight at all.
Well, it's, you know what it is, dude, is that it's this thing, which is really unfair about how people judge stoppages, is that, like, how someone reacts after the ref stops the fight is completely not on the ref. Like, that's, you have no way of knowing when you stop a fight if this guy's going to pop right back up and be like, I'm absolutely fine, or if he's going to lay there on the ground for 10 minutes. You have no way of knowing that. But when the guy pops right back up, you tend to look back at it after that and go, ooh, was that maybe an early stoppage?
Right.
But it's completely unfair to judge a stoppage based off the response after.
Right.
It's not fair. But it is like psychologically the normal reaction.
Pull up the stoppage if you can again, the Volkov Rosenstreich, because people are complaining about it.
And by the way, I'm not even saying there might be some truth to it. If a guy is like okay afterward, you might go, maybe they could have let it go. But the ref has no way of knowing that.
The truth is
he got cracked with a crazy hard overhand right, is stumbling. Then he follows him to the cage, lights him up, and he keels over against the fucking cage under the pressure of bombs. That's a good stoppage.
Yeah.
Can't be upset about that.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have the end the end of that fight? Let's see. Here, make it a little bit bigger. Perfect. Here we go.
Bang. That's the first one. He's stumbling all over the place. Bang. Then he hits him till he fucking falls.
He's not defending himself.
He collapses against the gate. Now, he pops right up afterwards.
He's not defending himself.
But whatever. It was a fine stoppage.
He's just not defending himself. It's as simple as that. And Rosenstreich, I picked Volkov in the fight. I was on Harrington's live stream right before the fights went off. And I picked Volkov. I just feel like Rosenstreich, he's sort of like, I guess I have to look at his record. I don't even need to, but he's just sort of been a little disappointing, dude. He's like a striker who, like, he seems to be waiting for a big shot.
He can be very inactive. And when you got a guy with such a big reach advantage over him, you're like, well, if you're going to do this thing where you're inactive and you're just trying to catch the knockout shot, it's not that that's impossible to do, but
yeah, but he came in with so much hype, dude. And they want, you know, a lot of these kickboxers, you know, I think they get a little bit overhyped just because the style, and they look great in kickboxing. You know, they're like these fucking world fucking beaters in kickboxing. And then they come over to MMA and it is truly just a different game, you know, and he just doesn't seem like he's completely in the fight. That, you know, like he didn't seem like he showed up for that fight. And that's that. You know, I guess people in the chat saying Rosenstreich could get cut. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he should go back to kickboxing. Maybe he goes to bare knuckle. That would be something that could work for him.
Ooh.
Right?
You get a big
guy who just wants to throw hands. Like,
who is a top 10 heavyweight.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, he's like a legit.
I mean, granted, top 10 heavyweight doesn't really mean as much. You know, this is just historically just what it means in, you know, heavyweight MMA. It just doesn't have the long line of absolute killers waiting.
Yeah.
But look, you know, Volkov, interesting position to be in now, right? Volkov, what is he ranked? Pull the rankings at heavyweight. I think he was ranked like number 9 or 10. And I think Rosenstreich was ranked ahead of him, no?
Maybe not.
I don't know. But Volkov just had that loss against Tom Aspinall. But Aspinall, I think, is a really fucking special athlete, right? And yeah. I think that's probably the story of the difference between Volkov and somebody like Tom Aspinall is the level of athleticism. All right, so yeah. So these are the new rankings, right?
Yeah.
You have Volkov ranked number 7, Aspinall ahead of him, Derek Lewis ahead of him. He lost to Derek Lewis, but he was beating Derek Lewis. He's got a loss to Curtis Blaydes. It's very interesting when you have like losses to the guys that are all ahead of you, right? Aspinall, Derek Lewis, Curtis Blaydes. Then there's Ty Tiavasa, which
there's
he has
John Jones in the mix too, which, you know, he's not ranked.
He's not taking, but John Jones isn't taking an Alexander Volkov fight. Right?
No, of course not. I'm just saying.
What's next for Volkov? I mean, I guess a Ty Tiavasa fight could be fun, but why would Ty Tiavasa fight the number 7 ranked guy?
You would not, if you're Ty Tiavasa coming off such a huge win, there's just no reason. There's no reason for it. Fight a real dangerous guy who there's no upside to.
None at all. I mean, I guess you could see a Curtis Blaydes rematch. Curtis Blaydes out-wrestled him. You know, you could say that, you know, likely Volkov has been working on wrestling as wrestling has come along. But yeah, it's a really weird position to be in, Volkov, right?
Yeah.
He's sort of like, I would almost say in a gatekeeper position, you know? I don't think that he's going to beat the very, very top guys. You know, he's already lost to all the guys that are ahead of him. Continues to make improvements. He's 32 or 33 years old. He's kind of young, dude. That's not super old.
Yeah.
For MMA, that's not a really old age, especially for heavyweight MMA.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys go into their fucking 40s. So kind of an interesting case for Alexander Volkov. Who would you put him against next?
Let me see the list again.
You pull up the heavyweight rankings. One
like,
more time.
Not if I'm him, but if I'm just making, you know, the fights. I mean, look, any of the dudes below him.
That probably makes more sense, honestly.
You know, there's a lot of fights there where you could try to make one of these guys, you know, like names off him. That's not what Alexander Volkov would want. Of the guys ahead of him, I suppose the Derek Lewis rematches. That sellable. He was fucking him up the whole fight until he got caught.
That's actually really sellable. I think the Derek Lewis or the Curtis Blaydes rematch is the only thing ahead of him that would make sense. Yeah. You know, beyond that, you know, he's sort of playing gatekeeper and the guys that are below him. And I don't think you want to be a fucking gatekeeper.
At heavyweight?
You don't want people trying to make a name off you, you know, in the UFC. So it is kind of interesting, but good for him. Good for him for getting another win. That Tom Aspinall loss, you know, that sucked. And, you know, to bounce back and get a win is awesome. And, yeah, we'll see what happens in the heavyweight division. We do have some more of these stories. I want to just tap on. We don't have that much more time here. We got to get over to Legion of Skanks in a little bit. This weekend, Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka. Title fight, Valentina Shevchenko versus Talia Santos as well. That's going to be interesting. I think the Joanna Jędrzejczyk-Zhang Weili fight is sort of a dark horse. Like, everyone's most excited about that fight. I mean, Glover Jiří is crazy, but Joanna versus Zhang Weili.
Oh, it was such a good fight last time. Although sometimes you worry about those fights when they're so good the first time. You're like, ready to do that same thing again? Are they going to be hesitant? We'll see. Glover Teixeira, but that's the fight that you want to see. I mean, that's like
obviously that's great. But I'm super excited about Zhang Weili versus Joanna. I wanted to touch on this story real quick because I think it's interesting. Jeff Molina, he got a split decision over Zubza in a flyweight preliminary bout in UFC Vegas 56. Hefe chose the option to customize his fight kit to help raise money for the LGBTQIA+. What is the IA?
In also.
Intersex and asexual.
Whoa.
And artificial intelligence?
Yes.
That's in the group now?
I don't know why you need all of those and the plus. The plus should just cover it.
It should just be fucking.
Can it just be L+? And then we'll just be like, we get it?
It should be A-B-O-M.
I like that because it prioritizes lesbians.
It should be A-B-O-M-I-N-A-T-I-O-N+.
Remember the L word?
Yeah, that was a whole show. That's how being gay was a whole, like, dude, we got to fucking, this is going to whole. It's a whole show we got on this now. That's the plot line. Get it? They're lesbians.
Dude, I feel like there's a have those things with the like where they have the drag queen like store parties with little kids. Half the reason they have to do it is because that's the only thing that gets people outraged anymore at this point. It's like no one even cares about the rest of us. Like it's almost like they're like, hey, we're gay and we're here. And everyone's like, yeah, whatever.
Like, cool.
They're like, all right, we're trans. Like, well, and we're here. And everyone's like, no one cares. That's fine. Go ahead. Dude. Have a nice day.
Every guy knows down to just bang a trans. Yeah, like now. Like nobody's even embarrassed anymore. Everyone's like, it's fine. How hot is she?
No one cares. No one cares. And then they're like, all right, well, we're going to rub up on your children. And they're like, all right, that I have a problem with. And they're like, oh, you're a bigot, huh? You can't accept us. Like, it seems like you're forcing
us. Tune in to Legion of Skanks tonight as we break down tranny parties with children.
You didn't even read the story, by the way.
I'm reading the fucking story, Victor. Jesus, we're riffing, dude. Calm down, pig vomit.
Well, that's just mean. I wish you'd get fat real quick.
Oh no, I'm going to the other side, dog. Are you kidding me? Ooh, look at that arm, dude. That's wild. Look up.
That's pretty impressive.
He'll be back, Vic. You just got to wait him out.
No. I'm going to be fucking.
If there's one thing I know about Fat Lewis,
this is my last getting shredded, and then I'm done.
So your next fat will be the last.
And I get fat.
You're going to get really fat?
Bobby Kelly fat.
No.
I'm letting go. Yeah, dude. I'm going to get married. No, maybe don't put another baby into another chick. We'll see what happens.
Oh, no. Just make her miserable?
Yeah.
She's just got to be with fat you?
Yep.
Well, at least get married in shape. Yeah. Get like the best wife you can
I'll
get.
Be in shape. Round.
I'm still hurt by the pig vomit.
Jux Flux in the live chat says, read the story already. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for watching today's show. I really appreciate it. You guys are the best. Go support
Yo Kratom. Oh, man, the story is so good.
Go support YoKratom.com, where you guys can get a $60 kilo Kratom. We will check you next week on Yo MMA Rap.
Oh my God.